Welcome, everyone, to Kingdom Culture Podcast, or more specifically, Kingdom Culture Life Redefined Podcast, because that's truly what Jesus came to this earth to do, was to redefine life for lost mankind. I am your host, Larry Flannery. I'm so glad you joined us today, and I say us because I want to welcome my co-host, Dr. Lori. Hello, Dr. Lori.
Hey, Larry, and once again, I'm making a disclaimer that I am not a doctor because I do not play one on television. So, guess what? I'm not a doctor. Go ahead.
Yes, but I'm going to call you Dr. Okay.
I know you are, but I'm going to make sure.
And in case they're just joining us, somebody's didn't catch the introduction, tell them your credentials, because I call you Dr. Lori for a reason. You're not there yet, but you'll get there at some point. But tell them
who you are. Tell them your credentials. I'm a temperament counselor, and you're calling things that are not as though they work. So who knows, one day I may be a doctor, but not yet. So I made that clear. I just want to help people.
But you are a licensed pastoral counselor. Yes, is that your official?
Yes. It's a certified temperament pastoral counselor is the long title. And basically what that means is I'm a Christian counselor that uses temperament therapy. And we're going to, in one of our podcasts, we'll talk a little bit more about that, and I'll explain it. Because, you know, the therapy that I use basically is based upon the individual. We all are born with a different emotions. And so everything is not a one size fits all, as we like to group everybody into one, you know, one place. And, you know, in church culture, we take the square pegs and we try to fit them into the round holes all the time, and they don't fit because we're all individuals.
Yep.
So that's a little what I do.
Excellent. Well, that's exciting. Well, here we are talking about kingdom culture again, and again, the definition of culture is civilization, society, way of life, lifestyle, customs. What does that look like in the kingdom of God? That's what we're going to be breaking this down over the next ever, how long God has us doing this podcast, teaching about kingdom culture. What does it look like? What's it feel like to be in the kingdom of God, in the part of the kingdom of God? And the only way we can do that and know that is to go to the Word of God. But I really felt for this first one, we did the introduction last week, Lori, but this first one, I really wanted to discuss with you because it's really been burning in my spirit. Can we truly live free indeed? Is free indeed a real thing? Can we as Christians in this world really be free? And should we as Christians be enjoying life? And I ask those questions because Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So it's make you free, and then made you free. If we can, and I want you to address this in just a second, if we can live free, then why does it seem to me, anyway, that so many Christians are not free? Not really. Not in reality. Not in real life. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, they're just not free.
It's true.
It seems like we're always trying. It has nothing to do with us not loving God and not trying to get there. It seems like we're always trying. People want it. They desire it. They're trying to obtain it, but it just seems to be always out of our reach. Or is that just me?
No, and it's true. You know, people, if some of the world meets, you know, some people in the world meet Christian, you look at them and I've actually heard people say this before, why do I want what they have? You know, why? There's nothing that I'm seeing that is drawing me. And when Jesus, you know, was in the flesh, when God was in the flesh, he drew people to him. They wanted to be in his presence because he did have something different. He did have something that they they wanted to obtain. And we, you know, as Christians, do we really show that to the world? Do we really show them the freedom or a change in our life? Or because, you know, there's a lot of bondage, addictions, things that people, anxiety, fear, all these things that people live, they live in that bondage in the world. And when we draw, we introduce them to Jesus, they're thinking there's going to be freedom, but there really is not, because there's so many people in the, in, you know, the church that deal and struggle with the same things that the world struggles with. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to be a Christian counselor, because 95% of my clients are Christians who struggle with life, and they struggle with who are they, you know, their identity. They struggle with their mind. They struggle with anxiety. They struggle with fear. All these things that the world struggles with, the Christians are struggling with it too. And what I've come to realize, you know, and I spoke about this a little bit in our introduction, like, we are physical, spiritual, emotional beings. And a lot of Christians and a lot of people, they base life off of their emotions and not facts and truth. So we have to know who we are in God. And like, it's a mental, it's really a mental mindset that has to be changed. So you're saying spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, we're not free. So how do we get there? And why your questions, and you're probably going to get there, and I'm just like beating you to it, but how powerful is the mind, the mindset. That's what, yes, you know, we're talking exactly about today is the mindset. So what we don't realize, this. Go ahead.
Because you said it just a few minutes ago. When we're in the world, we know what world culture is like, the lifestyle, mm-hmm, the customs, the mindsets of the world. We know what worldly culture is like because we're all born into that. And a lot of us are raised into that for a long time. Mm-hmm. Not all of us are raised in Christianity and in the church, and that's a whole different story itself. But we know what worldly culture is like. We know that broken culture, that, mm-hmm, addiction, all of that stuff. We grew up in that. We grew up with that brokenness and that survival, man, just trying to survive life in the world. But when we are born again, we are translated out of that world of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
We are born into a new kingdom, into a new culture. Something is supposed to change. Something is supposed to not change in that I just go to church on Sundays now instead of sleeping late. Not change in that just now I carry a big, thick, gigantic Bible with me instead of a beer bottle. But something is supposed to change on every level in my mind.
Yeah.
Spiritually, and we list all those things, and we'll talk about all that. But spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, every level Jesus covers, the scripture covers. Something is supposed to change to the point that it's visible to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are representatives now of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And we, when the world looks at us, they're supposed to be seeing what the kingdom looks like and what it means to be a Christian or a Christian, Christ in us.
Yeah.
And so then why does all of our services, we're going to get back to that mindset question in just a second. Mm-hmm. This is going to lead right into it. But why, at least it seems this way to me, you correct me if I'm wrong, why does all of our services, all of our camp meetings, all of our conferences, you can turn on Christian television if you want to and listen to preachers on there, and everything seems to be geared towards God's about to do it. It's fixing to happen. You're mirror, we're not on Sundays, we're not preaching to a house full of sinners that, yeah, don't know Jesus. That TV preacher is not preaching to a couple of thousand preachers or sinners in this congregation. These are all Christians. These are all people that's been coming to church for a long time. Then why does every service seem to be geared towards it's about to happen? You're fixing to get your breakthrough. You're fixing to get your healing. God's fixing to do something. Your circumstance about to change. It's always the carrot on a stick dangling out in front of us. Mm-hmm. And people can't ever seem to reach it. What did we do when 2024 rolled over? Everybody jumped right on the bandwagon. this is going to be my greatest year ever. Every preacher jumped on the bandwagon. This is going to be the greatest year of revival we have ever seen. Well, if we could rewind, we did that same thing in 23.
Yeah.
And then we got in the middle of 23 and we said, oh, forget it. Let's go to wait till 24 because 23 is the worst year I've ever had. So let's get to 24. And now here we are. And it's going to be the greatest year. It's always out. Am I wrong? Am I missing something?
No, I mean, you make a good point. And, you know, I think it kind of circles back around to walking in authority and who we are and identity and knowing that we can have it now. That everything that we need, it was finished on the cross. And we, you know, so we forget that.
In light of all that stuff, just how powerful is a mindset? How powerful
absolutely.
Is the mind?
Yeah. And all that stuff. And so what I've found and what I have, you know, I've learned in the past couple years of counseling is emotions follow the thoughts. So Jesus knew that we would struggle with our thoughts. That's the reason why he addressed it so many times in scripture. He knew that the mind, so what's the, and you know, I'm going to date myself by saying this, but what was the catchphrase for me during, you know, growing up was a mind is a terrible thing to waste. So
yeah.
Like a mind, the mindset, it's a huge, I mean, you can think yourself into happiness. You can think yourself into sadness. You can think yourself into joy. You could think yourself into despair. And Jesus addressed it so many times, you know, 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I mean, if we base life on our imaginations, like we would be some pretty downtrodden people because I don't know about you, but my mind could come up with some pretty far out there imaginations. Things that, you know, and one thing that I struggled with in the past was fear, you know, fear of being sick, fear of, you know, is this, you know, this is how my demise, this is where it all ends. You know, fear of getting cancer, fear of this, you know, it was just a constant mindset of fear. But I had to learn to take control over those thoughts, cast down those imaginations. And what I've learned is that it doesn't matter if it's a truth or if it's a false. The thought makes our emotions react like it's real. So
yes.
If we think about the fact that I'm sick, like I'm sick, I'm dying, what happens? We go to that place, whether we are or not, it doesn't matter. We go to the place of thinking it's all over. Like, I might as well just sign off now because it's over. Or we can change the mindset. So if it doesn't line up with who he says that we are, what was you going to say?
Well, I was going to say it's no wonder that Paul said, or he likened mindsets to a stronghold, thoughts. And a mindset to a stronghold.
Absolutely.
It gets built up there. So, I mean, it gets ingrained in you. And yes, it's not an understatement or an overstatement maybe to say that a mindset is really that powerful. That powerful.
Absolutely, it is. Because we can dwell.
And hold you in that, in terrible bondage.
And we could dwell on the negative thought, or we could take authority over them and cast down that thought, that imagination. But what happens when you cast the thought down, we can't just, because, you know, positive thinking is, it's a big deal. Like it really is. There's something to positive thinking, even, you know, in cancer patients, they tell you like, find a support system, find people that's going to encourage you because it makes a difference on, you know, the outcome of their treatment plan. If they have positive thinking along with treatment, it's got, then this is secular speaking. So imagine how much more powerful the word of God is, because we could change it to a positive thought, or we could change it to the word of God, which is powerful. Like it is the word of God changes things. So if the thought doesn't line up with who he says that we are, it's just as simple as you can't think about it. Like it's that simple. And the Message version says in verse 6, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. So when you read that, it goes back to, you know, our emotions, like I said before, it's a good indicator of something's not right in our life, but it's not a good compass of what we should do, because we react on impulse, we react on emotion, and it takes us to, I mean, we don't make good decisions, it takes us to bad places. So you can't dwell on those negative thoughts. So, and I have a practical application, like we talked about that. So if we look at the example of the thoughts, I am all alone. And have you ever thought that before? Like, I'm alone. Like, nobody cares. Nobody wants me around. I'm just alone. And maybe you haven't, because you got all kinds of friends. Like, you roll like that. So you may have never felt alone. I don't know. Have you ever felt alone? Like, I'm asking you.
Oh, yeah, I have. And I'm like, thank God I'm alone. Please, I'm alone. Thank God.
Well, some people enjoy that alone time.
Hallelujah.
And that's
no. In all seriousness, I'm sure I have.
Well, just and I'm just going to use that example because temperament comes in play. Some people enjoy being alone. Some people suffer from anxiety if they don't have alone time. Some people suffer from anxiety if they don't have enough social time, if they're not interacting with people. So it just depends on the person. But if the thought is I'm all alone, and we continue to think on that thought, we begin to look for incidents to prove that statement true.
Yeah.
So it may not even be a true statement, but whenever somebody shuns us or they make us, you know, feel bad, or they haven't checked on us in a while, or nobody asked me out to eat lunch after church, that it just reiterates that thought that I'm alone. And so it leads us, if you continue to dwell there, it leads you to a dark place. But instead of focusing on the negative thought that I'm all alone, you have to immediately take control of that thought, cast it down, and you replace it with the Word of God. Because Hebrews 13:5 says, I'll never leave you or forsake you or abandon you. So we're never alone, if we think of it in that aspect.
And, you know, and when we understand, and of course we'll go into this stuff more and more and more as we go along, but when we understand, when it becomes a revelation of who we are in Christ and Christ in us, then that scripture that you just read of I will never leave you or forsake you becomes even more powerful.
Yes, it becomes alive. It
becomes even more powerful.
Yes.
When we understand the true magnitude of Christ in us and in us in Christ, it becomes
absolutely
powerful.
What happens is the word becomes alive and it becomes real to us. Because we can read scripture all day and it's not real until we begin applying.
That's why we must Romans 12:2. I'm not going to read it all, but the renewing of the mind that Romans 12:2
absolutely
talks about, to renew your mind. That is a continual, consistent renewal. It's continually happening. Mm-hmm. It's not just a Sunday thing and a Wednesday thing and a revival thing. It is a continual renewing. That renewing is literally tearing down one old mindset and reforming or rebuilding a new mindset, tearing down the Adamic mindset and rebuilding the Christ mindset.
So how do you renew the mind?
And it is a constant thing.
How do you do it?
Exactly what you're saying.
Absolutely.
In the Word of God. Repetition, repetition, repetition.
Memorization. And so I'm glad that you said that, because
I got to study it. I got to pray it. I got to hear it. All of those things come in. I got to read it. I've got to study it. I need to personalize it. I need to pray it. I need to hear it come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And then I need to hear the preaching of it. I need to hear men of God, women of God break it down to me. That's all part of the transforming my mind. And if I can do that with television, movie, Hollywood, if I can spend hours scrolling through Facebook, if I can, and don't tell me we don't do this, I do it myself. And so I know a whole lot of other people do it. At the same time, I can scroll through Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok, all those almost the same time. I got them all open on my phone at one time.
And, that's a talent.
And you can flip through one, then go to the other, and go to the other, and go to the other.
Yeah.
People do that all the time. Don't tell me we can't concentrate on the Word of God. If it is presented to us correctly. Now, I'm not talking about the Bible reading chart where I got to sit down and try to read through Leviticus in three days. It's not what we're talking about. We've already discussed that. But if we break it down and we make it a tool in my hand that works for me, that works for me, then I can do it daily. I can apply it constantly until it becomes a part of who I am. That sword, which is the Word of God, feels so good in my hand now, the sword of the Spirit. I'm used to it. Now I'm comfortable with it. I think we should be comfortable with the Word of God.
Yeah, and you said, like, you read it, you chew on it, you memorize it, like, you plant it in your heart. And we're going to talk about, I want to talk a little bit about that, too, but I want to, like, go back to what you just said. And then when you come to church and it's preached to you, you're familiar with it.
Yes,
and then,
that's good.
Like, your spirit, like, oh, okay, because I found myself doing that. And when you hear it, like, reiterated to you through the preaching, then you're like, yes, yes. Like, and it's like it feeds your spirit because, yes, I just read that. Like, this is what I've been dealing with all week. This is what I've been chewing on all week. And it kind of reaffirms who God is. So I think you're like, in the beginning, you said, like, why do the preachers are preaching all these things, but the saints are not living the victorious life. They're not responding to the Word of God because they haven't put the Word of God in. Like, it's only the pastors can only do so much. The evangelists can only do so much. We as the saints of God have to eat the Word. So when we go in to hear the preaching, it's not something that we're just hearing. It's something that we've already meditated on. That's already a part of us.
Well, if I'm going in, and all I'm hearing, or at least for a big part of what I'm hearing, is my breakthrough's coming, my victory's on the way, God's about to do something, God's about to show up, run around this church seven times, and God and the walls are about to come down, jump up and down as high as you can, clap as loud as you can, scream to the top of your lungs as loud as you can. I mean, I heard a preacher preaching the other day, and he said, your miracle is going to be at the magnitude of your shout, of your screaming. How loud can you scream? Well, I'm thinking, then go for crying out loud. Go get on the roof. Go get on the top of the roof and get a megaphone if that's going to determine the magnitude.
I haven't read that scripture, though.
So what did everybody say? What did everybody do? They got up and started screaming and yelling and as loud as they possibly could.
And that's emotion.
But that's not chasing. So exactly. why do I need to retrain my thinking, retrain my mind? And why do I need to understand who I am and how to get to live in complete victory over this situation if it's coming, if it's about to, if God's fixing to do it?
And I get what you're saying.
Not only that, some of the mindsets you just mentioned, the fear, the anxiety, different things like that. Some of the strongest mindsets that I'm running into right now battling is preaching over this country is religious mindset. It's religious,
and we know what Jesus said about that.
And we can't seem to get out of those.
Yeah.
And some of them are biblical, but they're old covenant biblical. They're no longer new covenant sound. They're old covenant sound, but they're not new covenant sound. We got to evaluate whether it's pre-finished or post-finished. Is it pre-Calvary or post-Calvary? Is it pre-Acts 2 or post-Acts 2? We got to evaluate all scripture from that perspective.
You're absolutely right.
We as Christians, we are created to live in intimate oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are created to live that way. We lose our freedom to live that way when any stronghold sets itself up in our mind and our spirit to block His Spirit and His Word from flowing freely through us. And that's what a mindset can do. Can bottle me up, box me up, block me in, whether it's a mindset from my past, something I've been through, something I faced, something I went through, abuse or whatever, and it's never got out of my spirit, or if it's a religious mindset, it blocks me from being who I'm supposed to be and living out what I'm supposed to live out. Because true spiritual freedom is rooted in God's absolute truth, His word.
Amen.
It's in me and through me. When it gets into, when His word becomes revelation in my thinking brain, it then spreads through my emotions. It takes over my imagination, and then freedom begins to.
Absolutely.
I think that's where we go from the Jesus said, make you free, made you free.
And Proverbs chapter 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So yep. Whatever it is that, and that shows us the connection between the heart and the mind. Like it's interchangeable. And so like what's in your heart? Like what is the word of God in your heart? Or, you know, is it, like you said, a religious, what's in the heart? Is it a religious mindset? Is it the worldly mindset? Or are we going to stand on the word of God and trust Him in that mindset? So,
do you think that an emotion of fear or anxiety or worry or insecurity, or do you think that those are rooted to some degree to a distorted thought about who we are or who we are not in Christ Jesus?
About who we're not.
Who we are not. Like I'm not worried. I've been too bad, so God can't really love me like you're saying He loves me. So I'm not, even though I'm a Christian, I'm still not good enough.
Oh,
I'm
absolutely.
Not pure enough.
Absolutely.
I'm not holy enough. At a distance from the Lord, there's always a distance in my mind because of the anxiety or the fear, the worry. There's always a distance between me and the Lord in my mind and in my spirit.
Absolutely. And, it has to do with, the environment that we live in, or the environment that we grew up in, and what people, because it's hard for people who have been hurt to trust, you know, hurt by people that they've seen. It's hard for them to trust a God that they've never seen. Does that make sense? Like, it's hard to, like, if the people that supposedly are supposed to love you have treated you badly, it's hard for people to change that mindset that God is. I don't know if that's answering the question that you had asked, but like, absolutely, all those things play, you know, our past, and we have to become free from those things. And we only get that freedom, like you said, through our relationship with Jesus and through the victory through Jesus. And a lot of people never, you know, they're Christians, they went through all the steps, you know, what they've been taught to do, but they're still living in so much bondage. And a lot of times people don't even realize or know what the issue is. I was, you know, praying with people on the altar. I've prayed with people on the altar before and just asked them, you know, they're heartbroken. I'm like, you know, what's going on? What's your prayer request or whatever? And they're like, I don't even know. Like, I don't know why I feel the way that I do. But is that the plan of God for us to, as Christians, has been in church most of their life? Is that His plan for us to be broken like that? And a lot of times it's because they haven't been taught how to get to the healing.
Exactly.
Or they haven't allowed God to into their heart deep enough to heal it.
Welcome to Kingdom Culture Podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what this is all about. I used to say, because I heard it said, and I used to say that God will be whatever you need Him to be. But I changed that because I don't agree with that.
Okay.
Not if what you need Him to be is not biblically founded. God will be to you everything He promised He would be in the scripture. But He will not be what, if you need Him to, if you view Him as something that He is not in His word, He won't be that.
That's deep.
And again, how powerful is a mindset?
You know, absolutely.
And if He's a distant God, because my daddy was, if a person says, you know, my father was abusive to me, he didn't love me, he didn't respect me, he was always people can bring that same mindset into God. Yeah. He's always distant, and I'm afraid of his judgment. Definitely. I approach God with fear, and I approach God with all that stuff. Well, that's bondage, you know?
Yeah, that's not who God is. But once again, a lot of healing, you know, I do a class a couple times a year. It's called Healing for Damaged Emotions, and it addresses all those things about, you know, how to, because a lot of times people approach God as they, and that may be something that we could talk about, approaching God as a perfectionist, like thinking that you can't, like God has his standards this so high that you can't even meet those standards, because that's the standard they set for their life. So like, yeah, that's a whole nother discussion, because that's not what God's not asking us to be perfect. He's the only perfect entity.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He said, be perfect, even if you're Heavenly Father. Not on this one.
Not on this one. You have to wait for that one.
But God teaches us. Jesus said, be ye perfect, even as your Heavenly Father's perfect. And Paul said, let us go on unto perfection. Now, we'll explain that a little bit later.
But let's leave hanging Jesus, a little. Not in our own flesh.
No. He was talking to us.
Yes.
Talking to us in Christ Jesus.
In Christ, exactly.
Well, that's what we're talking. We're not going to be talking anything about outside.
Yes.
If anybody knows.
Don't try to trip me up now.
If anybody that's listening to us knows my pet foundational scripture, Galatians 2:20, and that'll, you know, we'll go into that later. We're gonna wrap this one up here shortly. But
well, before we wrap it up, I really want to share.
I want to share
the practical application that we're talking about, because I have a exercise that really helps and really help people to be able to control those thoughts. And we call them, in the business, we call them irrational thoughts. And, you know, in the church, we call them imaginations, you know. So anything that's negative or destructive mindset, it has to be changed. Like we have to take authority over it through the word of God.
Yes.
And so with my clients, I always assign the exercise. I call it Philippians 4:8 exercise. And what that does is, you know, maybe we can post this somewhere on the website or whatever, something that they can download, because I have like a sheet that you actually fill it out. Because 9 times out of 10, people, their mind, they may have 15 irrational thoughts or intrusive thoughts that go through their mind, like on a daily basis, constant, back to back, just thoughts that just, you know, come to them. And if they dwell on those thoughts, it takes them to bad, dark places. So Jesus told us in Philippians 4:8, what we needed to do. It says, finally, believers, and I'm reading from the Amplified because I like how it added in at the end. I'll get to that, but it says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and in good repute, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. And then the Amplified adds in, center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. And so when I shared this verse, the part where it says implant them in your heart, I was reading that. And then I started, you know, because I go and search out these words. So I'm looking at the word implant versus the word plant. And I'm like, why did they say implant, not plant? Well, plant refers to foliage or plant, like nature. Implant means, now this is good. It means it's used in medical procedures, as in a heart transplant. So what happens whenever in a medical procedure, when you receive a new heart, it becomes a part of you, right? When they implant that, it becomes a part. If they put any kind of organ in you, it becomes a part of you. So what the Amplified version is saying is to implant that word into your heart so that it becomes a part of you. So it's not just the word of God anymore. It's not just you know, a book. It's not just, you know, a book, like you said, that we carry around, but it becomes alive, it becomes real, and it becomes a part of us. So the exercise is, if it's not true, if it's not honorable, if it's not worthy of respect, and you go right down the line, if that thought cannot make it through. Now, this exercise takes effort and it takes a lot of time, but I promise you it works. If that thought cannot make it through that list of things that God said that we can think on, you're not allowed to think on it. And what you have to do is replace that thought with the Word of God. And so, and I even have a, you know, a chart that I give my clients that's a, it's a, emotion chart that they go through, and they find that they take their thought, they match the emotion, it gives them the scripture to apply to that particular thought. So earlier we talked about the thought, I'm alone. So the word that we applied would be, he said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So that's what you have to switch the thought with. If it's not lining up with being true, because we could think a lot of things that are not true. If it's not lining up with being honorable or worthy of respect, or if it's not right, if it's not confirmed by the Word of God, going down that list, like, we can't think about it. And you have to switch the thought. And so that is an applicable, you know, exercise, practical application that people can use after listening, you know, to this podcast. They can begin to do that. Change the thought. And you if you change the thought, you change the mindset, and you change the emotion. It's all connected.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Jesus Christ paid too high of a price for us not to be free, for us not to enjoy everything that he purchased for us.
Amen.
To enjoy. We have a blood-bought right to the freedom that Christ purchased for us. And every promise in the new covenant, we have a blood-bought new birth right to those things.
Absolutely.
To enjoy those things. And that brings ultimate, in my mind, that brings ultimate glory and ultimate honor to God when we are walking in and when we are enjoying true freedom in Christ Jesus.
And like you said, he paid too high of a price for us not to have freedom.
Yes,
in our
did.
Mind.
I am free. I am free indeed because Jesus has set me free.
Amen.
And I want you to, if you're a Christian, you're born again. And I've gotten in the habit now where it automatically comes out as a Christian when I'm calling us Christians. I just call us Christians. It's Christ in us. I want you to say it with me out loud right now. I am in Christ. You need to repeat that. You need to get that ingrained into your mind. I am in Christ. I am spiritually, I am emotionally, I am mentally, I am physically, I am financially free in Jesus' name. Just start right there. Just start right there. Start with those confessions. Start repeating those things. Get that ingrained into your mind. And you get that settled into your spirit. Let it become not just knowledge, but revelation. When it becomes revelation, you begin to see things change tremendously, tremendously.
And you know, if nothing else, your mindset, when it begins to change, everything else follows. You'll
Absolutely.
See things follow whenever your mind starts to change. What we think,
Dr.
we Lord, become.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Again, it's been an absolute pleasure. We're going to have a lot of fun doing this as we go forward.
I think so.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. All right.
All right.
Is there anything else you want to add?
No, sir. I'm good.
All right. God bless you, friends. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.